And it's a tradition that started in the 60s. It would move from place to place.
I see. And this happens, we're talking to, what's your name?
My name's Lopi.
Lopi? L-O-P-I?
Yep.
Lopi, and Lopi, you're announcing an anarchist coffee house. It's going to be happening Wednesday night from 8 to midnight?
Correct.
And you, of course, are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. And this is open to anybody. Is there an admission charge?
We ask for a $2 to $5 donation, but no one's turned away for lack of funds.
Gotcha. And if people are costumes expected? Must people bring bombs? What does that anarchist mean to those of us who don't know what the word anarchist is all about?
Well, if you don't know what it means, you should look it up in the dictionary.
Right. in terms of an anarchist...
You don't have to be an anarchist to come to the coffee house.
You can even be a Republican. Huh?
Anybody's welcome. We're not being cliquish here. Anybody can come.
And what do you do? This is, coffee is served? You have to pay for coffee? Is there
an open
bring
your own coffee, actually.
You bring your own coffee. And what do you do at this anarchist coffee house?
I already told you.
You did?
Yeah. I guess you weren't listening.
I'm sorry. My mind was running over to the tape that was falling up. If the audience heard it, that's good enough.
It's an open stage night as opposed to open mic. We don't have a microphone, so we have a stage, and anybody can get up and have the full attention of the audience for 2 to 5 minutes and do whatever they want to do.
Will Free Radio Santa Cruz be there broadcasting all this?
I doubt it because we don't have a telephone.
Hmm. Okay.
But if you want to rig something up, you're welcome to do it.
Excellent. What is the, again, give us your number, Lopi, so that people can call you if they want more information.
Okay, it's 427-5566.
And again, where is this?
2044 North Pacific.
2044 North Pacific, 8 to midnight, Wednesday night. That's day after tomorrow.
Right.
Anything you want to ask?
That's about it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, so there you are. You can whip it up. You can go to the police review board at 5 o'clock today at City Hall and check out police abuse and tell the police review board you want them to insist that Chief Belcher tell the board just exactly what was going on and how many complaints he didn't log over the last year because they came in by phone and they weren't called complaints. That's one of the standing issues and grievances I have with the board. Go to city council meeting on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock and speak during the oral communications period there for 3 minutes if you want about any issue that interests you. And then on Wednesday night, after having a nice tasty meal at Food Not Bombs at 4 o'clock, you can wander on down to the Anarchist Coffee House, bringing your own coffee and coffee on, so to speak. But just don't be a coffee cat. I'd like to put out an appeal. If anyone has recorded this show, I too am trying to record it, and I've succeeded in part, but the last half hour, 45 minutes or so, I've not been able to record. So if anybody has that on tape, please give me a call here at 427-3772, or give me a call at 423-4833, my Huff number. Yes. Ooh, this is a young Huffy here. So I was reading about the case of Joseph Leitner, the man who was reduced to brain-dead status because he was mistreated by jail guards, who are now getting the professional excuse-a-rama from the guards' organization.
Can I interrupt for just a second?
Please, interrupt, Flam. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make it clear that even if they take him into the hospital or into the jail and give him the medicine they give you doesn't work for like 2 weeks. You have to take it continuously for 2 weeks. So even if they gave it to him, it's not going to do him any good.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Linda again for Housing Now. I was listening to what you were reading.
Yes.
I'm kind of pissed that you're talking in such sad tones about how it's these cutbacks to the mental health empire, or industry, I should say.
Oh, then that my tone.
Well, it's really a drug pusher program.
It's not my tone. I was reading this is a story by Maria Gara. As a matter of fact, I commented that this was obviously another plea for money from the poverty pimps, or in this case, the pill pimps.
Yeah. pill pushers.
The pill pushers, I call them the pill pimps.
Yeah, but I think making a distinction between how jail guards or prison guards treat the mentally ill and treat anybody, we shouldn't go along with that. Nobody deserves to have a sheet thrown over their head. Nobody deserves to have five cops jump you and punk you out while you're laying face down on the floor until you're bloody in four or five parts of your body, you know?
I think that's very important, yeah. That's true.
And it's typical. And they're making excuses for it, and we're sitting around talking about it. Bye.
Thank you.
Well, take that, Bathrop Spear Robert. That's Lighthouse Linda calling in to set the record straight. At Santa Clara County, I'm continuing this story by Chronicle writer. At Santa Clara County's main jail, about 230 inmates, 15% of the total, are taking psychiatric medications, according to stats provided by the county's mental health pharmacy. Yet the jail offers special housing for fewer than 100 psychiatric patients, and mental health services there were cut earlier this year. Jail employees do what they can to identify and give special treatment to the obviously mentally ill, whatever that may mean, but all sides agree that many sufferers fall through the cracks, and other people are shoved through the cracks. We won't talk about that. Very often, the mentally ill are mixed in with the general population of the jail, where they're easily victimized, said Erica Toth, a county social worker and a member of the county's mental health advisory board. And the longer they go without their medicines, the sicker they get, and many attempt suicide. Wish we had John Stewart here to comment on some of this stuff. So far this year, but we have Fire here to comment. If you have any comments on this, Fire, please interrupt me.
Yeah, like I said before, it takes like 2 weeks or more for the medication to actually work. And some people, the medication doesn't do anything for them, like me.
You've tried medication?
Right, they tried to give me Haldol and Cogentin, and all it did for me was I couldn't see, not even a foot in front of me. It made me, like, not delirious, but, like, real dizzy, feeling like I wanted to, like, just sit down and put my head between my legs. Made me quite sick. It just didn't do anything for my mental paranoia at all. I was still paranoid and couldn't see, too. So.
Yeah, but you're more easily controllable, which I think is the key on these drugs. You had to... You know, you had to have help walking, for God's sake.
Yeah,
you couldn't see.
Heard of the Thorazine shuffle, I'm sure you've heard. They have a saying where I come from. Basically, what they give you is a frontal lobotomy in a pill form. They give you a Thorazine, which makes you really, you know, easy to control, like they say. You know, just you're just basically a person that they can feed, whatever, put you in your room. They can do anything with you when you're on Thorazine. It's just that much, you know, takes over your brain that much.
I've had Thorazine myself many years ago. It's pretty bad, I'll tell you. Don't recommend it. It's like a thick blanket over your head where you can't even find your own mind. It's a frightening feeling. Anyway, continuing with this pill pimping article here. So far this year, guards have foiled 18 attempted suicides at the main jail. We're talking about San Jose here. One man succeeded in killing himself. Every inmate booked at the jail is asked a series of questions designed to identify physical or mental illnesses. But the questions are asked by a corrections officer with little more than 4 hours of mandatory training on the topic. It's hard to know, said Michael Coate, a training officer at the jail who is fighting the county's attempts to fire him over the Leitner incident. Everybody has trouble telling the difference sometimes. Some people won't answer questions at all. They just stand there. Some don't tell the truth. If there's any doubt, we ask for a medical evaluation. Since the Leitner incident, Santa Clara County jail officials have begun offering sensitivity training to employees. Don't throw a blanket over that guy and push him around. He might go into a coma. Designed to improve their skills in dealing with the mentally ill. But few expect such training to fundamentally improve the situation, blah, blah, blah. So they're blaming these officers' conduct on mental health cutbacks, which... sounds pretty ridiculous to me. Again, talking about police abuse, what have we got here? We've got an article by Joe Damanik, the Hollywood myth of the LAPD, in the October 3rd Chronicle. It was Rodney King's beating beamed around the globe by CNN that started it all. That started the demythologization of the LAPD, shattered the LAPD's reputation, that's the Los Angeles Police Department, as the golden boys of law enforcement plunged it into its current pariah status as the symbol of all that's wrong with big city policing. That perception was only strengthened by the insurrection of 1992 and the department's embarrassing non-response, by the LAPD's sloppy investigative work during the O.J. Simpson trial, and by Mark Furman's candid assessment of the current state of race and law in Los Angeles. All of a sudden, Los Angeles, a city whose politics few outsiders have ever cared about, was being watched by the world as the city's chickens, who had previously been led to the cheers of a worshipful media, came home to roost. We pause for a call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. Who's this?
This is Rob.
You're on the air.
Hi, man. Thanks a lot. I just wanted to say about all this police stuff, and especially the medical experts that they have in their prison system and all. I mean, they don't help you worth a damn anymore. And it really shows, especially with these cases. I mean, mentally ill people obviously need more help, but it doesn't appear that in this society anymore that they care. And it really showed. A couple months ago, I had been beaten up severely, and in which I ended up becoming the one arrested simply because through in need of help with the police officers, they kind of just got in the cars and drove off in front of me.
Which police department did this?
This is the glorious Santa Cruz Police
Santa
Department.
Santa Cruz? Which officers were involved?
I can't remember the names. All I know is this... The statement in front of me was, if we need to come back here, we're going to need some more people. And that kind of, like, really frustrated me, so I decided to take my aggressions out at the time, unfortunately, on a mailbox, which is...
You attacked a mailbox.
Well, yeah, I put my fist basically one side out the other.
Better a mailbox than a male person.
Yeah, exactly. It was just sort of a situation where so much frustration came to the top. I mean, bleeding everywhere and in severe pain. And, of course, when I finally got to the prison, it was to check to see if I had any type of, you know, severe suicidal thoughts going on. And it was kind of interesting because my statement was, no, all I'm going to be needing is some painkillers, please. And, oh, yeah, sure, we'll be back in 5 minutes with that. And, of course, that was at 12 o'clock in the morning, and then 7 o'clock in the morning rolls by. I'm still awake from all the pain going on in my...
This was in a cell? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Were you ultimately charged with anything?
Yes, vandalism.
Were you convicted?
Yes, $200 worth of payment.
And vandalism was the... Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get your name and number off the air and call you back and have you also... give a call to SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, which is at 475-2012. You got a pencil?
Well, actually, you know, we also, Free Radio Santa Cruz, of course, the only reason why I'm listening to the channel is because, number one, it's the better channel in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, we've got a show there on the weekend, Saturdays and Thursdays. But I just wanted to call in and just first off say over the air that it really seems like a system of which, you know, the medical personnel inside the prisons just don't seem to personally understand what they need to do to help people out.
That sounds real, and that sounds true, and that just don't understand, as you point out, don't give a damn.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to urge you before you leave to consider coming to this silly Citizens Police Review Board today.
Oh.
At 5. Did you hear about it? I think you may have heard about it on the show earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know where City Hall is?
Yeah.
It's a City Hall. It's at 5, and there's a half an hour for an open mic in which you can actually stand up and just tell them, look, this is what these cops did to me. This is what this so-called personnel at the jail did to me. That's not under the jurisdiction, just the Santa Cruz police. But you don't even have to file a formal complaint if you don't want to, though I would encourage you to do that as well. The
of
more
course.
If you come on down there, I will personally, pat you on the back. Think of that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm kind of in some severe pain right now, actually. Yesterday, we kind of really dinged up my knee.
It happened to me the other day.
That's another reason why I'm at home. Yeah.
Sounds like you're going to have trouble making it.
Yeah, it's just been like a painful situation having to watch how our society has been collapsing and all. And
let me take your number off the air and call you later.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do that?
Well,
the reason I'm trying to get the documentation of police abuses, and I'm glad you're calling in on this, but what I want to do is get more specifics.
Mm.
Is that a possibility?
Sure. Well,
I'm taking you off the air right now.
Okay.
Go ahead, take over.
Okay, this is Free Radio, Santa Cruz, 89.3, and if there's anybody else that would like to give a call in the next 10 minutes or so, it's 427-3772, okay, 427-3772, yes, and I'm an idiot, we all know it. Okay, I think Skyler might be able to say something. Say something, tickle. You gonna beat the mic, huh? Yeah? Tell us more about it. How unfair is the judicial system, Skyler? How unfair? That's pretty unfair, huh? You poor kid. Let's see if we got something we can put in.
Thank you. knowledge is knowledge. Because the bigger you get, the wider you spread. You gotta depend on now your vision is dead. The more your dream is dead, vision. The time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once. I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm taking up. And am I just paranoid? Am I just up? We'll be right back.
listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 93.6 FM. I'm Bathrobe Spiel Robert. We're entering the final minutes of Bathrobe Spiel's Broadsides. If you want to call in now, talk to either me, Fire, or Skylar, now's the time. It's a family station. We got a family here. We got family values. We're all set. We're up for it. We're up for you. We want you, and we want you now. So give us a call, 427-3772. So what have we got in the way of other news for you?
I need a place to rent.
you hear that? Fire needs a place to rent. So if anybody has any ideas, 427-3772 is the number to call. If you want to be on the show, you should show up at Taco Bell. That's Pacific Avenue and Laurel Street at 945. I'll be around. Oh, yeah. I had something I wanted to pass on from Catnip Kate Wells. Catnip Kate is one of the few attorneys in town who occasionally volunteers her time, even though she's going under financially, to help poor people accused of camping tickets and that sort of thing. She hasn't made any kind of a blanket offer, but she has helped people in the past. She even gave an ear to me when I tried to get her to help a Red Top Robert Flory, who you may know was jailed a week and a half ago for refusing to pay an unfair fine in the court of Judge Barracuda Barton. And he was in jail for 2 days for so-called contempt of court. We were thinking of getting Robert out on a writ of habeas corpus, but we didn't have it together to do that, but he is out now. But anyway, Kate has been working with the Illegal Paralegal Services Club, which is a club also involving a renegade Richard Quigley, who's trying to help people find ways to fight harassment tickets. And they have a once-monthly meeting, but they have a court case coming up that's kind of interesting that I talked to Kate about earlier. That's on the 11th, and, of course, today is the 9th, so that's, I guess that's Wednesday. I think that's right. Yeah, it's Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. in the morning in Department 8. It's in Judge Stevens' court. There's a hearing on a writ of mandate in which it's called People versus Davidson. There's a man named Davidson who went into the traffic court, and he said if cops writing me a ticket is not enough, there has to be what's called a verified complaint. A verified complaint means that the district attorney, the city attorney, or the city or the county council has to actually draw up a complaint against an individual. You can't just warehouse people in and out with a ticket. It'll make it harder for the government to harass you for these minor traffic offenses if Judge Stevens finds in favor of Kate's client, Mr. Davidson. That's going to happen at 8:30 a.m. on October 11th in Department 8. So if you're interested in that, hey, pick up your bags and head for court. Check it out. There's other things happening, like Phil Free's case is coming up. If Phil Free is within range of the phone line, Phil, give me a call. I don't have your court date. Phil Free is the musician on the mall who has been twice arrested, or arrested in the sense of giving citations, for disturbing the peace. Apparently, two stores, one was Alibaba's kiosk, and the other was Minx, is that right? Minx clothing. Didn't like his song Hospitality Nazis. Didn't like his singing outside. And the cops very eagerly and amicably and conspiratorially and collusively just got together with these merchants and gave him these citations, which are not petty citations. They are misdemeanor citations, punishable by up to 6 months in jail and $1,000 fine. So it's not a minor issue for street performers on the mall or street musicians, and I think it's something that's important, something we have to keep an eye on, and I hope that Phil calls in at least to a later show with the time of his court date if we haven't already missed it. What else is cooking here? Well, I spoke to Mayor Birdseed Byers this morning to try to get an update on what was coming up in terms of the open-air shelter. We have no new news. They've gotten some maps. That's very nice. But nobody's offering a piece of property for the area that 150 to 200 people are going to be ousted from. Currently, there's only one legal place for homeless people to sleep. That's the open-air shelter at River and Highway 1, also known as the Back 40, also known as the River Street Campground.
Also known as the Polluted Dirt Shelter.
Also known as the Polluted Dirt Shelter. Yes, thank you so much. That's Fryer giving her perspective on the open-air shelter. What is your perspective on the open-air shelter?
Well, when I first came to Santa Cruz, I really needed a place to live, and I was living in my car, and they were, like, well, adamant about putting up tents at the time while I was, like, 4 months pregnant, and there's no way I'm going to sleep on the ground outside. And I found out that the ground there has been, I mean, just has got some severe toxins in them, and I just really don't think that'd be a real cool idea for somebody that's pregnant or, you know, has health problems or anything to be sleeping on.
They wouldn't let you sleep in a tent.
Right. I didn't want to, you know, sleep on the ground outside.
When did you arrive in town?
I think it was, like, right before, October of 94.
So this is actually the time before the Great Tent Rebellion, which was this spring when Marathon Mark and Gina and others demanded that tents be allowed after it turned out that staff out there, that is to say, the people, the employees, were allowed to have their tents, but other people had to sleep outside and pull their tents down and so forth. Then tents were allowed, although there's been recently another tent restriction. People wanted to have their tents up during the day, and based on excuses like drug dealing, people are not allowed to have tents. And there was a, I guess you heard some people on this show a couple weeks ago talking about how they were unfairly evicted. They felt they were kicked out by employees who still have their tents, and they took their story to the Santa Cruz Sentinel. And anyway, that was an interesting interlude, but I was saying I didn't get much from Mayor Byers, who's on this open-air shelter subcommittee, which is supposed to find another place for people to move the open-air shelter to. Scott Kennedy is heading this drive to deal with the shelter crisis that's going to intensify when the Citizens Committee to Exploit the Homeless, I'm sorry, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, as they call themselves, begins its community house project in December with no commitment to relocating homeless people elsewhere into another open-air area or even a closed-air area. I mean, it's true there's going to be an armory shelter during the winter, and customarily during the winter the open air shelter is closed, but there are people who still use that property at night who can't use the armory for different reasons, because they're alcoholics or because they have pets or for other reasons, and this is going to be a severe hardship to them that the community house, which is a long time fund magnet boondoggle project by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, designed to provide so-called low-income housing, the brainchild of Paul Lee, at the expense, they're going to try to provide 40 units, 40 people with low-income rental housing, and they're going to evict 150 to 200 people who are not paying rent, but who can't afford to, who are so low-income they have to camp outside on the ground, now in tents, as Fryer was telling you. So anyway, Byers has no news on that. I'm repeating old news for you, but for those of you who haven't heard it, that's the news. There is a report from Berkeley. Berkeley authorities have been trying to blackmail the university. The university has been trying to blackmail the city. Actually, now it's a combination. The city, now under the conservative mayor, Shirley Dean, are trying to force Food Not Bombs and other social services like the free clothing, the free box, out of People's Park. Again, this is part of the university's perennial yuppification, gentrification drive at People's Park, which is a small park in Berkeley near the University of California, which is one of the few open spaces left near the university, which was essentially seized by the community in 1969 at the cost of a life. Then Governor Reagan attacked the People's Park with thousands of National Guard and put up a fence, and the fence was later torn down. Anyway, the property is community property, and it was again a point of controversy when the university again attempted to yuppify by putting in sports courts and to move out the homeless, to make it an upscale, you know, nice park for nice people. that sort of thing. And nobody has used the volleyball court in the last 4 years except University Shills. People paid to play volleyball. The basketball court they put in has had some more success, but this is generally a university an attempt to remove the homeless from the area. It's at least that's how I've seen it, and that's how other activists see it. Anyway, they're trying to do it again, and they've gotten a little nervous because the hand-picked committees they've set up have been infiltrated by the community, and they have come up with recommendations that do not please the chancellor or the mayor in Berkeley, recommendations of people that the volleyball court that costs essentially millions of dollars in construction costs and police costs into the city be torn down, and that a children's playground be put in instead, which I think is a much better idea. And that recommendation, which apparently the the hand-picked university city useless committee came up with, is not something to the liking of Chancellor Tian. And we're going to have more about this next week when, I should say, on Friday when my show returns, hopefully with more interviews, more music, more comedy. Who knows, maybe more fire if she winds her way down here and remembers her magic cards. We won't even get into magic cards on this show. You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. You have been listening to Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. This is your very own Bathrobes Pierre, the robe. I'm back in town. I'm bad. I will probably be at the Citizens Police Review Board meeting. I invite you, including Rob. Come on, Rob. Get your butt down there. Hobble on down or have somebody carry you into the meeting. If that doesn't work, give a call to SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. If you want to see what this group of our very own thin citizens line against police corruption, police brutality, police abuse, police misconduct, we need to support a stronger line. Come on down, 5 o'clock today, that's Monday today, City Hall. And tune in on Friday, 10 o'clock in the morning, when my show, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, resumes. And hey, how about the host of the real show here? Fire, this should be your show. Why don't you come in or sign off or
do
something,
for
Christ's sake. Yes.
All right, now we've got a really fussy baby.
A fussy baby.
Who lost his binky on the way here.
Lost his binky. Baby.
And unfortunately, the bank wasn't open today on Columbus Day, so I couldn't withdraw some of my U.S. tendered cash so I could buy him another binky.
Uh-oh.
So we're a little bummed about that.
What is a binky, anyway?
Pacifier.
Oh. So he's making heavy demands on you personally.
Right. He's mad at me because he dropped his binky. And he's kind of chilling out with his bottle nipple right now. Huh?
Well, I'm going to turn the show over to you, Fire, and wish you well. So
where are you going?
Well, I'm going to be here for a bit, but the mic is yours. You can put on some music. It's 1 o'clock.
How about some music?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Free Radio Santa Cruz. So
okay.
We can play some more of Carol Denny's tape if you want.
Well, I got this tape. I'll keep
you got
it.
A tape. Okay, go for it.
Let's see what we got going on here. Hmm. Do we have anything?